Open your Bibles, please. Very good. Take your Bibles, please, and turn with me to Proverbs 22 and verse 29, please. What a great job you did, young people, top notch. What a great person to sing about, the Lord Jesus Christ. Great cause to live for. Proverbs 22 and verse 29, the Bible says, "Seest thou a man diligent in his business? He shall stand before kings. He shall not stand before mean men." Consider with me again, would you please, this opening statement of this proverb. "Seest thou a man diligent in his business? He shall stand before kings." I hope that I'll be appropriate today. I asked in just general communication if it was okay to reference some things, and I believe I'll do it in a tasteful, tactful way. But I want you to give me a good hearing, would you please? And you're welcome to shout if you shout, but you don't have to for me. I would really rather you just really listen to what I have to say today. As someone now, my wife and I celebrated 30 years in the Greenwood this past summer, and my heart is heavy for you. I desire good things for you. I think there are many, many people who do a better job teaching the classes that I teach. I'm honored that I'm able to drive up. It's not really a sacrifice for me. It's a pleasure to be able to come and maybe be able to say one thing that would help somebody like others helped me along the way. But I do hope that you'll listen to me today. I believe that there is tremendous potential here for the Lord to be able to use. Really, if you think about the story of the lad with the little loaves and the fishes, you don't know his name, but the Lord does. And when we get to heaven, I'm going to ask, could you tell me his name? Because he sure means a lot to me. I've thought over the years, if God could use that lad, if he would take what he had, then he would be gracious to take what I have to offer. I don't have much, but he's used it, and I'm glad that he has, and hope that he'll continue to use it in a greater way. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll begin. Father, we need you now. I need you. Lord, young people have come and they've got families and preachers and folks that have poured their lives into them. Lord, people have sacrificed for this place to exist and to continue to exist. We rejoice today in the faithfulness of your people, but most of all, we rejoice in the cause that you have called us to. The Apostle Paul took it very personally. He said, this is our message, this is our ministry. This is what you've given to us. Lord, if you would help me today to impart here what I think is just a tremendous truth from your word to these young people, I would be so honored and so pleased to be used by you. Lord, I seek not to impress. I know who I am. There's not much to be impressed with, but you are incredible. You are awesome. You are worth every word and every song that could ever be sung. So meet with us now as only you can. Still us. May our minds be cleared for a few moments, and may we be focused on this, your word. In Christ's name we pray, amen. You are watching things unfold in our country that are historic. You're living in times that you're going to look back on someday, I believe, and say, oh, I was alive when that happened. A 20-something-year-old man took the life of a 30-something-year-old man. I have children the age of the one who was killed, and a child the age of the one who took the life. I don't know how you feel about everything politically or about individuals, and I would certainly not agree with everybody on everything or how they do things, but just as a dad, as a pastor, my heart is heavy. My heart is heavy for our country. When I was your age, in my mind, going into ministry was on par with going into the military. American flags would be unfolded and unfurled in preaching ceremonies, and preachers would preach, and they would say, hey, who is going to save America? My pastor preached passionately one time, and he even took his shoes off, and he said, hey, we need somebody to fill these shoes. And I, as a spoiled, self-centered teenager, listened to the Holy Ghost as He moved in my heart. I walked forward, went down an aisle, and I said, "Lord, I'll serve You. Whatever capacity, I'll do whatever You ask me to do." And quite honestly, I didn't have any big dreams or big plans, and I've just kind of showed up every day with that same mindset all these years that, "Hey, Lord, I will do whatever You would have me to do." Seems like He had me to go to Greenwood where we're at. It seems like He would have me to continue to show up there, and I keep showing up. And the Lord's been very, very good, very gracious. But I did it with a sincere desire. I wanted people to be saved, and I wanted to make a difference in our country. And oh, how the last 15 years or so, I mean, you can almost mark it by different things and different political winds that have blown through, and then different, if you'll accept the term, even spirits that seem to press upon us. I have gone, as I'm sure every pastor has who loves the Lord and loves his country, I have fallen on my face before God and I have said, "Lord, what is going on?" I never thought when I was in church ed at 17 and 18 years of age that there would ever be a day when I would have to figure out what to do when somebody showed up on a bus route dressed like a woman, a man, and people come and say, "What do we do? Where does this person go to the restroom? How do we handle this? What are we supposed to do here?" I never imagined a little child would come at 8 or 9 years of age and get on my bus for master's clubs on a Wednesday night and be picked up and 1 week come dressed as a boy and the next week be dressed as a girl. And I'll be honest with you, I was just quite frustrated and bothered and stirred in my spirit. I wondered, what is happening? And then 2 weeks ago, tomorrow, right? Something happened in America that has the whole world's attention. I mean, if you're paying attention in the streets in foreign countries, they're talking about an American whose life was taken. Why? And my heart breaks. Let me tell you why it breaks. One, for the young man that has believed the deception of the enemy, and a society that has fostered and developed that. His responsibility, he'll be accountable to God for it. But I look at it, and I looked at the pictures of his family. Mom. Dad. What a tragedy. And I looked at a young man who, in the prime of life, was cut down. And I believe that anybody here who's being honest would be thrilled if their child had a testimony of going around trying to point people to Jesus Christ. Whether you agree with everything about it or not, you would be thrilled to have a young man who had that burden and that passion. I know, helping people who navigate secular school, that his testimony has been a big help to people to give them answers and give them confidence in where they're at, where they study, to stand up. I know personally, that I'm going to baptize two people this Sunday night who were reached because of this situation. A friend of mine shared with me, a pastor who was in a neighboring state visiting a bookstore, overhearing two girls talk about buying their first Bible because they wanted to begin reading the Bible. He was able to buy them Bibles and witness to them. His wife was, and they were both saved. The tragedy is there to me is that here was a 30-something doing something that seemingly others should have been doing. You have an opportunity. I enlisted and you've enlisted. And I really pray that you will take this moment in your generation, that you will step out with boldness and power of the Holy Ghost, that you will not be ashamed, but that you will demonstrate to the world what God's young people can do. You see, I give you this verse, and I'll get to my point. "Seest thou a man diligent in his business?" A service took place Sunday where an entire cabinet the United States, and the President of the United States stopped, and the Vice President stopped and went to something and observed this young man. Why? Seest thou a man diligent in his business? I'm going to talk fast because I've got a lot of ground to cover. You stick with me and I'll help you here. Let's consider diligence defined. The word diligence is used in some form over 20 times throughout the Scripture. It's one of those words that is a word that seemingly has one use, but it really has a lot of broad uses to it. To be diligent, one would say, speaks of hard work or putting force behind something. One would say that diligence is to take something and make it good or make it beautiful. Some would say that diligence is to deal well with something. Sometimes the word diligence is used to search out something, to do a diligent search. It's used in other places to speak of something that is sharp and pointed. Other places is something that is quick and prompt and skilled. It speaks of knowledge. I believe the Lord gives the greatest definition of diligence. In the Gospel of Mark 12 and verse 30, and it says, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment." To me, diligence speaks of this. It speaks of my head, my heart, my hands, and if you will allow, my back. It speaks of putting everything and anything I've got into what I'm doing and being fully engaged in it. And I believe, as difficult and as troublesome as these times are, that perhaps God is doing something because there were some young people who were willing to be diligent, to have a cause, to have a purpose, and to put themselves out there. It's tragic to me that in our country, people from around the world would look in and see a 20-something taking the life of a 30-something for what? For communication? How far have we fallen? How disappointing and troubling is this? But hey, if God, through this heaviness, if God, through this revelation of what we've become, if God would make a clear line so that people would see that there is light and there is dark, so they would hearken back to the question that Moses asked, who is on the Lord's side? So that they would go to the top of Mount Carmel with Elijah and they would be asked, how long halt you between two opinions? If the Lord could do something through this, and I hope that He will. You know, it's tragic, but it's telling. And it's also reminding me of a quality that every one of us can have developed in our lives. We are not all the brightest. I did not make any, there was no dean's list for me while I was in school. There were no asterisks by my name, probably not from the junior kindergarten through. There was probably a question mark by my name, but there were no asterisks. You know, I don't have to be the brightest. I can't carry a tune in a bucket. Boy, that group sang a moment ago, unbelievable. I would love to sing alongside of them. I would love to, but I'm not going to. Hey, listen, we don't all have the same IQ. We don't all have photographic memories. Boy, Preacher Wilkerson, he meets somebody. He's met people in my church 6, 7, 8 years ago. He walks up and calls them by name, and I'm glad that he does because I've forgotten their name. We're not all equipped the same way, but we can all be used through this tool of diligence. Head, heart, hands, and back. Man, give yourself to what the Lord has given you. Ecclesiastes says, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all thy might. Both Galatians and Ephesians and Colossians speak to this end, that hey, what we have and the relationships, the work that we're involved in, the things that we're engaged in for the Lord, that we're to do our work and we're to handle our relationships as if they were unto the Lord. 1 Corinthians 10:31, of course, says, whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. And I really believe if you will and I will continue in this pattern of getting up every day of our lives, rejoicing in our salvation, rejoicing in our Savior, and being purposed that whatever I touch, whatever I'm involved in, whatever relationship God brings my way, whatever opportunity God brings my way, if it's right and decent and should be done, I'm going to do it to His glory with diligence, then God will bless that.
I just believe that if one of you guys would go off somewhere like I did, begin to meet people, begin to work with people, that God would develop and establish a church that will have an influence in the world through missions and through ministries that will be available to you. I believe, young ladies, if you will go and in your classroom, whether it be at school or whether it be the classroom at home, and you'll be diligent in that, you will see the bigness of that. You will pour yourself into that. You will give it everything that you've got, head, heart, hands, and back. And if you will see it for what it is, God's work, and do it, God will bless it. How else can you explain how a young man would have the world paying attention to his death? What got him there? Diligence. I've given you diligence defined. Let me give you diligence described. The proverb says, "Seest thou a man diligent in his business, he shall stand before kings." Let's begin back in the book of Genesis, and let's take a trip through the Bible very quickly, and let's recognize all the young men who were called upon and men who ended up having an opportunity to stand before kings. I take you first to a man by the name of Joseph, who was sold by his own brethren into slavery, who was lied about and forgotten in jail. In difficult places he stood, but it was there that he showed himself to be diligent and to be of a different spirit. It was there that Joseph found audience with the king at that time and the most powerful man in the world, and he became the second in command, to the point that Joseph was able to save his family, to the point that Joseph was able to continue to have a part in what God was doing through Israel. And Joseph is a key player in that. But at 17 and 18 and 19, how it must have felt lonely to have been away from his family, to have been betrayed by his own brothers. But he was diligent in difficult places. I take you to Moses. Moses was somewhat different. He entered into the palace very early on, but then he made a choice to step out of the palace. For 40 years, he took care of somebody else's flock. For 40 years, he must have wondered, what is God doing with my life? But he was diligent in that, and God called him. I see Joseph in difficult places. I see Moses in times of needing to be patient. I see Joshua as he is first the servant to Moses. I see humble beginnings for Joshua, who would then stand before the five kings of the Ammonites and deal with them regarding God's people. I see a little fellow who tends his father's flock, who's overlooked by his own brethren, but he becomes superior in his obedience. He becomes superior in his love for God. And what God was doing in private, God exposed in a large scene when he had a call one day to go and face a giant by the name of Goliath. I see as he was helped to stand before kings, and then he himself would become king. I see a prophet who seemingly comes from nowhere to backwood country to come and stand before and oppose a wicked king by the name of Ahab. His name is Elijah. I see him bolden in his diligence. I see a man by the name of Daniel. Boy, how Daniel's life was turned upside down when he was a part of a group of people who were being led off into captivity, but they're in captivity with a purposed heart, purpose to be diligent, purpose that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat. It was there that Daniel and that purpose, diligence, was exalted, and was exalted to the point that even in his old age, he was remembered and influential on those who would have an impact in saving and protecting Israel. I take you further. We travel to the New Testament. I take you to a man by the name of John the Baptist. John the Baptist, obviously from his birth, he was designated to be the one who would be the forerunner of Jesus Christ. And boy, was he diligent in his call and diligent in his message. He would say of himself, "I'm nothing but a voice," but he was a diligent voice. I see a man by the name of Saul. Before he came to know the Lord, he was diligent in his studies. He was exalted among those that were around him, and he really climbed the ranks. But he counted it all but dung one day when he came to know the Messiah, the Savior. And that Paul, who had been diligent in his persecution, became diligent in being a servant of the Most High God. And who, other than the Lord Jesus Christ, has the testimony that you and I are aware of, like the Apostle Paul? Diligence. He stood before kings. Daniel, John, Elijah, all of them stood before kings. And then I take you to the King of Kings, who humbled himself, took on the form of man and became a servant and gave himself to the cross. And I see Jesus as he stands before kings, Herod and others. He was diligent as well. He was the one who said to those in his day, "I must work the work of him that sent me while it is day. I must be focused upon this." And if I would remind you, he set his face like a flint to the cross, and he was diligent to complete the task. The Bible says that diligent people are blessed. They have success. They control and are not controlled. I find all these things in Proverbs. They achieve satisfaction in life when they're diligent. When you work for something, When you've given it everything that you've got, your head, your heart, your hands, your back, then you realize that this is what God wanted me to have in this. And I'm satisfied with what God has given me. It may not be the biggest, it may not be the best, it may not be the most expensive, but it is what God has given to me based on my diligence in life. Part of the problem with this generation is we've given too many people things. They don't know what it is to work hard. They don't know what it is to sacrifice. They don't know what it is to go without. And so they have so many things and they still lack satisfaction. It is better to have a morsel of bread in your integrity and pillow your head and maybe not the most expensive bed and to live under the smaller of roofs perhaps, but to be able to say, this is the bread, this is the pillow, and this is the roof that God has given to me. Success, control, and not being controlled, satisfaction, advantage. There are roadblocks to diligence for us. Self-centeredness. Proverbs 21 and verse 2, the Bible tells us that every man's way is right in his own eyes. There is arrogance, there is conceit. Proverbs 26 and verse 16 speaks to not being teachable. There is ignorance and irresponsibility in Proverbs 24 and verses 30 through 31, where we are told to go by the house and by the barn of the fool, by the slothful, by the one who through ignorance and irresponsibility has allowed the thorns to grow up and has allowed his crop and his soil to be turned in a bad way. So many more things could be said. I want to be diligent with the rest of my days. I want you to be diligent in your days. Friend, I believe if there is hope and help for our country, it's not found in the people we elect, although it's important who we elect. If there's hope and help for our country, it's in the world, in our world, knowing and hearing the gospel. You have an open door. It's been opened. Go through it. Go through it. Please. I have grandchildren now. As I'm serving and looking for the Lord's return, I want my grandchildren to not just live in a nation that is free, but I want my grandchildren to grow in a nation where the gospel is preached, promoted, proclaimed, and understood. And what's it going to take? Diligence. Who can demonstrate diligence? Every one of us. Let God have what you have. Give him all of you. And let God use you. God bless you. Let's pray.